Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's gonna be a good day with DA.
Hey, Doc.
I do love the Doc.
Happy being alive day.
Mornings on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah.
It's always a good day here on the DA show. Welcome aboard the mothership where we laugh and we learn every single day. We're glad you're here with us. The DA show on CBS Sports Radio. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. I'm super excited. In that open, you get to hear the infectious laugh of Little Mo. And Little Mo, as I've delivered this news before, a couple of days ago it came down, late last week, Little Mo's going to have a street named after him in Baltimore, just outside of the Raven Stadium. So this is going to be in early December. I'm excited. I'm going to take that day off of the show. Hopefully you guys understand, to go down to Baltimore and be part of that. Mraz and Bogues will steer the mothership that day. That's going to be Wednesday, December the 2nd. But I will deliver on social media all of the goodness of that day. I am so excited and happy that the city of Baltimore decided to do that. I'm so excited that Little Mo is going to be remembered forever outside of his favorite stadiums. And I'm so excited to be able to find some time and get the day off to be able to go do that. So that's coming up on Wednesday, December the 2nd. And I will deliver all of the information and be your eyes and ears on the ground to let you know exactly how and what it looked like as it went down. Little Mo getting his own street named after him. There are good things happening. Remember that coming up in a couple of weeks. Later on in the show, we're going to have Badlands Booker join us 1 hour from now. Badlands is our goat when it comes to eating. Forget that chestnut guy. We don't consider him to be anything of significance. Badlands Booker has won not one but two Wienership challenges. That's our personal hot dog eating contest here on the DA show. He has also been in the Nathan's hot dog eating contest for years. He's a competitive eater. He considers the Red Lobster Admiral's Feast to be a dinner for one. He is a mountain of a man. And we have had a debate now over the last show, dating back to yesterday morning into today's show, about when's the appropriate time to eat Thanksgiving dinner. And this kind of consumed yesterday's show. For me and Bogues, we do it on the early side. We're talking about like 3 p.m. or so. Mraz says, no, too early. I want to eat my pile of lasagna then and then get into the turkey at like 6 o'clock. And so we are going to defer to the one and only Badlands Booker coming up here on the show 1 hour from now and ask him, when is the appropriate window to eat Thanksgiving dinner? Also, Deuce McAllister is going to join us in hour number 4, and we'll talk to Deuce about the New Orleans Saints and the status of this injury and what they're going to do without Drew Brees, because as we know, on Sunday, Drew Brees suffered a collapsed lung and multiple broken ribs. Now, it appears that those ribs, some of them, might have been broken before that, and that he was dealing with nursing some cracked ribs, which is kind of amazing that he's playing in the NFL and playing quarterback for a playoff or Super Bowl hopeful with cracked ribs. But the big hit he took, which knocked him out of Sunday's game, which brought in Jameis Winston, ended up collapsing his lung. Well, of course Sean Payton's going to be coy about this because he's always coy about how he uses his quarterbacks and how he's going to use Taysom Hill, yada, yada, yada. That's not a surprise. But right now, the first diagnosis of Drew Brees was 2 to 3 weeks. And I said, there's no chance. There's no chance a 41-year-old quarterback who is nursing cracked ribs as it is going to come back from these five cracked ribs and a collapsed lung in 2 to 3 weeks. I said more than likely you keep him out for a month plus and you bring him back for the final regular season game or two just to make sure his first game back is not the playoffs, but that there's no way it makes any sense to rush Drew Brees back because you need him healthy. You can't win a Super Bowl with Taysom Hill under center, and you certainly can't win a Super Bowl with Jameis Winston under center. The Saints are good. They ain't that good. They're not getting through the NFL playoffs with any of those guys besides number 9 under center and hoisting the Vince Lombardi. So I think the Saints must know that. I think that Sean Payton must know that, and I think that Drew Brees must know that. I realize that Brees is at the very end here. This is going to be his last season. 99% sure he's going to retire after the season, no matter what happens here. So if you're Brees and the Saints, why push it? You don't want to re-injure those ribs. You want to give them as much time as possible to heal and then be ready going into the playoffs. Because, you know, you've already almost locked up a playoff slot. You have the 2-game lead over this Buccaneers team. And what I mean by that is you have a game of the standings and then also a game of the tiebreaker because you've swept them. So it's going to be really hard for them to lose that division if either one of these quarterbacks, Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston, play anywhere close to a serviceable quarterbacking level. Now, I know that the Buccaneers are a strong contender, and we know that they've played very well offensively in recent weeks, but I do think that for the Saints, even if you don't win the division, you want to make sure Drew Brees is healthy because you just can't risk having him with cracked ribs again going into the playoffs. You cannot risk that or something else happening. So I think you've got to take him out for a while here. But yesterday, one of the prognoses swirling around Drew Brees is that he would only miss 2 games. 2 games. Now, the next 2 weeks for the Saints, they are home to the Falcons coming up this Sunday. And then next week, they are at the Broncos. After that, there's 5 more games. At the Falcons, at the Eagles, home to the Chiefs, home to the Vikings, at the Panthers. Again, if I'm the Saints, I don't bring him back until the Chiefs game at earliest and more likely the Vikings or Panthers game just to get him work before the playoffs. I think that this 2-week prognosis is just another part of Sean Payton manipulating the truth and keeping people off guard. He has not announced who his starting quarterback is going to be because he wants to keep defenses guessing and opposing coaches guessing. That's my only guess here that this is more Sean Payton Jedi mind tricks. Because, Mraz, I cannot for the life of me imagine that 41-year-old Drew Brees dealing with the cracked ribs, 5 of them, and a collapsed lung misses only 2 games. Could you?
No. We're talking about a lung, D.A. This is the thing used to breathe. Forget the ribs for a second. Even if you wanted to go out there with the padding. The lung, from what I've understood in class, goes whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. You need that to play. For that to collapse and you to get back out there and take hits in a football game, there's no way it's only 2 weeks. I don't know where this optimistic timeline's coming. It's not exactly something you could just pad for. But maybe it's just a sense of not putting panic in the Saints locker room and having them believe that Drew Brees is going to be right back out there if they don't necessarily believe in a Jameis Winston. And this is also different, a little bit different than last year, in that the Bucs are right there with them in the win total. So it could be a sell job, not just publicly, but to his own room, that those guys don't know really the necessarily true timetable for Drew Brees.
Maybe. It's far more important for them to have at least close to 100% Drew Brees,
right,
than it is to win games down the stretch. And I know you don't want to go on the road for three straight weeks. I know we've talked about this week anyway. And I know that the Saints love to be indoors and play their offense on a controlled environment and a controlled artificial turf. At the same time, bringing back Drew Brees in week, let's just say it's 12 or 13 rather, and having him injured again, and having him injured for the final 4 weeks of the season, or having him out again with a punctured lung or a collapsed right. lung or cracked ribs, does you no good. It does you absolutely no good. You cannot have Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill starting under center wildcard weekend. It cannot happen unless you could guarantee Drew Brees gets you the bye, the one bye, and then that would give him a week off. Okay, there's an outside shot of that working and making sense, but I don't think you can guarantee that. So why would you put Drew Brees at risk? I sincerely hope they don't play him in two right. weeks so that they don't force him back and they play it safe to give them a better shot at winning in the playoffs.
Right, and I mentioned this earlier in the week. Forget the punctured lung for a second and crack ribs
Collapsed lung.
I'm sorry, right. I'm thinking of Tony Romo when he had the punctured lung. The collapsed lung.
And Tyrod Taylor's had a punctured lung right. this year.
It's amazing that we've had this many lung injuries with football quarterbacks. But Drew Brees, we've made the jokes, and they've kind of been serious, that his arm has looked like a dud at times this year. And it wore down 2 years ago. It wore down last year. And inevitably, the Saints have lost in the playoffs every year since that phantom pass interference because Drew Brees has worn down at the end of the year. This injury could end up being a blessing for Drew Brees and the Saints if he just rested a little bit. And all you need is, you know, basically the three games to get to a Super Bowl. If he maybe retires at the end of the year, he could just dial it back. This is it. I'm going all out. In many ways, you've already swept the Buccaneers. You know you're making it to the playoffs. I understand you don't want to be a wild card. I get all of that. But resting Drew Brees' arm because you have to because of these other injuries could be the thing that saves the Saints and has enough juice in their tank to win these playoff games that they've been losing the last couple of years.
Wouldn't that be interesting if being forced to shelve Drew Brees actually saves their playoff hopes? Yesterday they floated 2 weeks. I can't imagine it's 2 weeks. It's a collapsed lung and multiple broken ribs. We'll see where it goes. Who ends up starting? This is so weird to me because you have Jameis Winston on the roster, and last week that's who you turned to. And Peyton has said, I'm not gonna show my hand in this, but starting Taysom Hill full-time isn't feasible for us because that means changing the entire offense, which to me is problematic because he's the guy making all of the money, and he's the guy that you've said is going to be your franchise quarterback after Brees leaves. So if you can't trust him now to at least run some version of the offense, what good is having Taysom Hill? I mean, he's been in the organization for how many years now? You've overpaid to keep him. If he can't run even a streamlined version of the offense that he's practicing in for the last 5 years, what exactly is he doing? If I am Sean Payton, I think I'm playing Taysom Hill. Because A, I've paid him the money because I think that he's a game breaker. B, it helps him understand the offense for next year when he takes it over. And C, Jameis Winston is Jameis Winston. He's going to make a lot of bad decisions. He's going to throw you out of games. Now, maybe he's a little bit better this year than he was in Tampa Bay. Maybe because he understands he's on a show-me deal, he can't afford to make too many mistakes, but I don't know, Mraz. If they go and start Jameis Winston and only give Taysom Hill like 5 or 7 snaps again, I'm going to have to really question how much they, A, like Taysom Hill, or how valuable, B, he actually is to them.
And I love the idea that now Jameis can turn off throwing interceptions because, oh, he's on a show-me deal, as if his whole rookie contract with the Bucs, he wasn't trying to earn a second contract. Now it really matters that he's not going to turn it over.
Yeah.
But last year we had these same questions, and at least the difference was you kind of felt more confident with Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater played well than you did with Jameis Winston. My guess is that the out here for Sean Payton is this, that Taysom Hill is more than just a backup quarterback that you hope to be a future franchise quarterback. He's your gadget player that breaks up so much of the offense. So if you now play him under center full time for Drew Brees, you're eliminating two players from your offense because you've eliminated Drew Brees and now you've eliminated what Taysom Hill does for your offense. So if you play Jameis Winston, the Taysom Hill, if you will, Swiss Army playbook that Sean Payton loves can still exist because you can still run those plays while Jameis plays quarterback.
I would think that if Taysom Hill has a credible shot at running this offense, then he should have a credible shot of running the offense right now, some version of it. Because the idea that he can't handle this offense, we're going to completely change everything we do in the offseason and re-indoctrinate the entire roster for Taysom Hill, right, seems insane. I mean, Sean Payton's run the same offense by and large for 15 years. Now, again, Drew Brees knows it in and out, so you want to play to that strength. But you're telling me that Sean Payton's going to rip up what he's done for 15 years in the offseason because he's got Taysom Hill, and he's going to reteach all the coaches, he's going to reteach all the offensive linemen, he's going to reteach the entire offense to everybody because Taysom Hill can't run this offense, he can only run his own offense. That seems impossible to me, which means I got to think Hill gets significant snaps here or else what's he worth? He's not worth anything if he can't run an offense that he's learning under for 5 years now.
But if that's how you felt about Taysom Hill, then why the heck did you sign Jameis Winston to begin with when Bridgewater left? That was your chance just to say Taysom Hill is our other quarterback besides Brees, but they signed Jameis freaking Winston as an insurance policy. So why sign him if that's how you felt about him?
I don't know. It is totally bizarre. This whole thing with Taysom Hill is totally bizarre because Sean Payton is clearly, he's in love with the concept of Taysom Hill. But the concept only takes you so far if you, this is the second time they've had a chance to give Taysom Hill the reins of the offense. And if they don't this time around after Bridgewater last year, it really begs the question of what exactly are you doing with him and why are you spending so much money on him? Can't you get that guy every year in the draft? If all he's going to do is run 5 to 7 plays a game at most and he never takes over the offense when Drew Brees is injured, why would you ever spend money to keep that guy around? That seems crazy.
It's insane. And it does remind me, the way you just said that, of the movie Role Models, where the guy who played McLovin in Superbad is asked if he likes soda. He goes, I like the idea of Coke. I just don't actually like Coke. And that's basically how Sean Payton feels about Taysom Hill.
When we come back on the show, soundcheck, your best audio of the day. Remember when Mike Tomlin said that this is not like a Big Ten team playing the MAC when he was his undefeated Steelers were getting ready for the Jaguars? Well, his quarterback played the MAC, and he had something to say about that. Plus, callers getting under host's skin here on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, back off, guys. We'll play that coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Having a home, that's hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. That's easy. We start with Sean Payton, who delivers our first sound check clip. As Sean says, he will not name a starting quarterback for Sunday. Here's the clip.
No updates, Mike. I'm eating my bagel. I was hoping to be chewing it when you asked that question. No update on Drew's injury status either, specifically?
Nope. Nothing specific. Yeah. Nothing there.
Does anybody like to play these games more than Sean Payton, maybe aside from Bill Belichick, to just stonewall you at every quarterback question ever? I mean, look, Sean Payton's won a Super Bowl, and Sean Payton also is remarkably candid when he talks about football and when you're in person with him. We've had him on Radio Row. We've talked to him in person. He's a very good interview. He's a very genial guy. He's a very friendly guy. He's easygoing, you know, when he's away from the football field. Very unlike Belichick, who's always guarded. So I think people like him, and I think that reporters like him, and I think that fans like him. He gets a lot of love, but it's exhausting when we go through the quarterback stuff with him, because it's like 30 NFL coaches can be pretty honest about their quarterback, and then two simply refuse to be. Belichick and Sean Payton. And we're doing this a lot with Sean Payton because Drew Brees has had a lot of injuries over the years, and certainly the last couple of years when it comes to Brees in his late 30s, early 40s, as we talked about last segment. One of the diagnoses or projections said he would be out 2 weeks. That's a collapsed lung and 5 cracked ribs. I find it hard to believe he's only going to be missing 2 days and throw in a flak jacket, or 2 weeks rather, 2 games and throw in a flak jacket. The other day that Mike Tomlin was discussing his undefeated team taking on a 1-win Jaguar squad and happened to say, we've got to take everybody seriously. This isn't like we're a Big Ten team taking on a MAC team. Well, his quarterback, Super Bowl winner, and future Hall of Famer Ben Roethlisberger happened to play in that MAC. Remember, he was a Miami of Ohio star. Here's Big Ben.
I haven't had a chance to get him yet. He mentioned it in the team meeting at the beginning too, and I wasn't too happy about that. But I'll get him back. Don't worry. I got to figure out what conference of William and Mary's in. We'll say something about that.
Big Ben going to Miami of Ohio, but Mike Tomlin going to William and Mary. It is interesting. I mean, I get what Tomlin's trying to do there in saying we can't take anybody lightly. These are all the same league. These are not different conferences. It's not like, you know, we play in a totally different sport than the other guys do, kind of like you would think when Ohio State takes on Western Michigan or something like that. Western Michigan's a bad example, but one of the dregs of the MAC. I get that. At the same time, he should probably say, like, it's not like the SEC playing the Sun Belt or something like that, because his quarterback is a MAC grad, a MAC alumni, and his quarterback is one of the best of his generation to do so. Finally, just the other morning, you know, I was listening. We were all listening here on the DA show before we log on, before we sign on. Of course, Amy Lawrence, After Hours, precedes us, and so we always get to listen to the final hour of Amy's show as we're getting ready for our show. And the other morning, you had not one, but two callers, and Amy is very diplomatic here to even invite the callers on. Not one, but two callers who are getting in her grill. Hey, stand down, guys. Let's play the clip. Okay. So it looks like we had the Kyler Murray clip. Mraz had sent the caller clip to James, but why don't we play the Kyler Murray clip right here before that, as Kyler Murray prepares to try to do a second act after the Hail Mary, the Hail Murray week, of course, against DeAndre Hopkins that'll live in infamy in Buffalo Bills land.
I haven't done anything, so as far as MVP deal, yeah, I'm not even really worried about that. I was as far as my personal confidence, do I believe that I'm one of the best in the league? Yeah, of course. I mean, I think anybody should be confident in themselves. So that's what I meant by that. As far as the MVP deal, I don't really, you know, I just try to go out and, you know, lead my team to a win.
I don't really know why the MVP matters to so many people. I mean, I think it's interesting that Russell Wilson's never gotten a vote in the MVP. That feels interesting to me. But whether Russell Wilson wins the MVP or Kyler Murray wins the MVP or somebody else wins the MVP, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, whoever it is, it's almost like, why do we even care about that? It only matters who's holding up the Vince Lombardi trophy? I mean, nobody remembers how many MVPs Tom Brady has won. They only remember six rings. Nobody remembers how many MVPs Peyton Manning has won. They only remember the Super Bowls. So whether it's Kyler or Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or Mahomes or whoever, Lamar Jackson winning the MVP last year is nothing because they were one and done in the playoffs. So while that was a wonderful throw by Murray, and he is must-watch, he's box office right now television, and while the Cardinals have a shot of winning that division and doing some damage in the January playoffs, I don't care whether he's in the lead for the MVP, whether Russell is, whether Russell's fallen back, whether Patrick Mahomes is. Who cares? Have fun with your awards. And finally, here is that clip of these two callers the other morning taking Amy to task for whatever reason, I don't know. It is time to stand down as the callers here.
Well, yeah, it is a bit of a joke, and I know that no team wants to lose, but as a longtime, you know, Mets fan, Jet fan, some people are fair-weather fans. They jump on the bandwagon for the front-running teams, okay?
All right, so, you just don't need to worry about what everybody else does. You just be a real fan.
I don't worry about what everybody else does. I'm just making a comment, Amy, okay? Hey, have a good day. Thanks a lot. Okay,
yeah,
thanks a lot.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. Spicy.
I'm a young guy that always bets on sports. I don't work anymore because I win all the time. If you want to know anything about sports, you can call me.
If you want to know anything about sports, you can call me, Andre.
Well, I give you a good trivia question before I get out of here.
Dude, I don't do trivia. That's not real sports knowledge.
That's not real sports knowledge.
No, it's just your knowledge of like some obscure fact. That's not the same as knowing what's happening on the field, the court, the ice right in front of you.
Hey, I might be the only guy that can be all the Super Bowl winners from Super Bowl I all the way to the present Super Bowl.
Well, I definitely can't. Not in order.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. And I want you to figure out who's the only guy to rush for 200 yards and didn't win the MVP of the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Figure that one out before you get off the air.
Nah, I've only got another 90 seconds, so it's not going to be in the time until I get off the air.
You know, come on here. Amy Slavin threw an overnight shift. Day after day, morning after morning, we've done that shift. It's brutal on the body. It's brutal on the body clock. And here you are wanting her to dig up some ridiculous, obscure Super Bowl trivia question and getting in her grill. You guys need to stand down. I'm serious. Amy does an amazing job. She was being diplomatic there. She laughed it off. But you guys need to stand down. Give the woman some respect. I mean, geez. Merez, what's going on? We're popping trivia questions. Andre's popping trivia questions at Amy at 5:49 a.m. Eastern time. Give me a break.
And I don't know if you guys have ever dealt with this. If you meet, you know, a friend of a friend back in the day where we used to be able to go to a bar, somebody finds out what you do for a living. You always get somebody like that caller going, oh, I could do what you do. Can you tell me blah, 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 like some random, like, oh, yeah, that's going to carry you through the four-hour show. That's what we need to know, the random factoid, because you know sports, and that means you could do what we do. And it doesn't mean people can't, but those are the kind of guys I can't stand because I've seen them in the past. I hate them. And then they're the same people that will get your number and text you, hey, here's my fantasy football question of the day. Those people need to get lost. Amy's right.
Do you think that sports trivia equates to sports knowledge?
Well, it is sports knowledge by the definition of sports knowledge, but that doesn't equate to basically, you know, the everyday, okay, this happened in this game, but that doesn't matter what happened in this game that we're talking about. Can you tell me what happened in 1984 between the Tigers and Reds on May? Like, those things, like, they are knowledge, but that's not really the knowledge we're talking about on a day-in, day-out basis.
Right, it's understanding stats, memorizing factoids, dates, numbers, things like that. But it's not understanding what's happened in the game, the context of the game, the context of the situation. There's a much broader knowledge that goes into, quote-unquote, sports knowledge. What do you think, AB, is knowing sports trivia sports knowledge?
Not completely. I mean, there are things you should know and that you need to know, but like things like, you know, who was the third player named Daniel that hit 5 home runs, and it, like that stuff doesn't matter. People do like to present that, as Sean said, as like a resume tidbit, like I know this, I know that, but most of that stuff is kind of useless.
Okay, so I bring this up because this is interesting. Do we then think that Mraz has more of a defense of not knowing facts throughout history, geography facts, historical facts, scientific facts? Because if we're dismissing the people that say, well, tell me about this, well, tell me what happened to this date, do we then have to say Mraz might be right here, that he shouldn't have to know that type of stuff?
No, because I think there are things that you need to know that would qualify as sports trivia. And just like there are things that you, Sean, okay, like, again, the things that we've, that you should know at this point in life about, like, bears and tails. Like, that's not trivia. Like, that's knowledge. You know, like, that's just something that you should be aware of. Or when he was stumped by rabbits feeding babies with breast milk. I mean, like, that stuff that I feel like you should just be aware of. You don't need to know anything deeper than that, but there is a base level of knowledge that we have questioned about Sean.
Okay, so that's a good point by Bogues. It's like Mraz not knowing that Columbus was not the first pilgrim, thinking that Columbus was the first pilgrim, is kind of like not knowing the Vince Lombardi trophy is named after a former football coach. For him to think all water has salt in it, even ponds and lakes and streams and rivers, is kind of like not knowing that Michael Jordan's famous for winning 6 NBA championships. These are very baseline trivia factoids that he needs to know have any discussion.
But I do know that Lombardi fact. I do know that Jordan fact. And I'm not an ecologist. So I think there it lies. To me, like, I always say this, I never pretend to be somebody who would have went to Harvard, but I do think...
Just Duke.
I do think what I need to know, I know, and anything I don't that maybe people think I should know, I am learning along the way. So I really don't think it's that egregious when I don't know certain stuff. It would be egregious if I did this job and, like I had no idea that Shaq played with Kobe on the Lakers. Like, that would be egregious. The saltwater thing, first of all, there is still salt in the water. I'm not going to get into that. But, like, you know, the Jacksonville, Michael Jackson stuff, like, that's irrelevant to me and my livelihood and how I function in life.
But, Sean, I don't want your mom to get any angrier at me. I'm just responding to things that you're saying.
736, like, right in her wheelhouse, folks.
I know, because you've said this before. Like, when did I learn that in school? Like, when would I have learned that in school? Like, the things you know about the Yankees and the Giants, you didn't learn in school. You didn't go to Yankees 101 in 7th grade. Like, you picked those things up along the way by just learning about them and experiencing them. And while, yes, you don't need to know about Jacksonville's history to be a sports host, you weren't building to be a sports host in 4th or 5th grade when you would have learned about bears and tails.
That's what you think.
So, like, that's not really a complete explanation for why we are where we are today with your knowledge level.
Let me just cite. Mraz says, hey, not knowing this type of stuff, not knowing things, not reading, not being up to this type of stuff does not affect my job.
We almost made it the whole week without the reading knock. It's Thursday. I thought we were getting through.
So let me just bring up Monday morning's show sheet, okay?
I mean, enough with the Rolodex you keep on me. Now you bring up something from Monday? You've been sitting on this all
about this
week? Stop burning me.
The title to the show sheet, the topic list, is Giants are division contenders top list. I don't even know why it's Giants are division contenders top list. But
top of the division.
Are division contenders top? That's how you would phrase the job. Good way, the division.
That's supposed to be topic list.
Topic?
Got that IC? Is that
okay.
What we forgot?
So forgot the IC. That's probably right. It's also spelling contenders. CONTEDERS. Conteeters. So Giants are division conteeters top list. Then the first story is Kyler Murray as a moment. You forgot the H. It's has a moment. A Hail Mary, which is one word to you. It's two words to everybody else. A Hail Mary to beat the Bills deviates Josh Allen.
Deviates. It's not a word in any way.
Deviates, which I think you mean devastates Josh Allen. Okay, there are multiple spelling errors through this entire show sheet. And I'm like, why is this so riddled with errors? But then we brought up in the PGP that your mom said, enjoy the hangover. And I asked you, were you drunk on Sunday? And remember, the Giants had beaten the Eagles for the first time in 8 tries. And we had learned that you had won a 6-leg parlay with the Bayou Bear, flapjack to flapjack, rubbing on each other's bellies on the couch, winners of $550 a piece. Come clean. Were you A, that out of it on Sunday night that you just were still drunk? Or B, do you really care about spelling so little that you misspelled like 5 different things in the first 5 sentences of this topic list?
Well, this is some long play that we've gotten Thursday with this. I'll tell you. Look, I will make no bones about it. Did I consume several alcoholic drinks on Sunday because the Giants had beaten the Eagles and I was in a celebratory mood? Yes, I did. Was I anywhere near slurring my words, Zubaz pants, feet up like the Cowboy game? No. But upon further review of hearing these errors and remembering when I was doing the topic list, I would think that maybe there is a chance I was conscious about not wanting to drink as much as the Cowboy game, but maybe I had more than I thought I did. Maybe. Because there's no way, I will say this, there's no way I care about spelling that little. But Sunday, it was a celebratory day. It was. And I just can't believe that you just didn't hammer me with this on Monday. And then you asked me about on the PGP not bringing up this topic list. It was like you set me up all the way.
Well, to be honest, I thought about bringing it up on Monday, but we had so much football to get to. I'm like, I can't do it on Monday. We're just shoehorning it into a day where it doesn't need to be. But then I thought about Tuesday. Then I thought about Wednesday. Then I said, you know what? We definitely have to bring this up at some point. And then today it just kind of perfectly dovetails in because you're like, I don't need to know any of this stuff to do my job.
And let me just defend myself one quick time here. I am the only one of us. Well, I guess that's not true because DA has to answer with a whole, you know, the rundown on Sunday night. But I'm the only one of us in theory while we are off that day that has to churn out work with going through the topic list. And I feel as if now I'm being punished for doing the thing every, you know, red blood American likes to do, having a couple cocktails while you watch football on a Sunday. And now I get screwed because I'm in charge of setting the topic.
Well, it's just hysterical that this is how you would paint yourself here. You could drink all you want on Friday because you don't work on Saturday. You could drink everything on Saturday, the entire cabinet. You don't work on Sunday like some of us do for Sunday morning football or weekend shifts or what have you. And then on Sunday, you could have like 3, 4, even 5 beers probably is fine for you at your weight spread over the course of the day. But you now want to also like, hey, isn't it just being a red-blooded American to be kind of drunk on Sunday night? Well, no, because we've got to get up at the crack of dawn on Monday morning, and you, as the producer, have to provide an organized show sheet for us to bounce off of.
Sure. I think it was only like 5 beers. The problem was we do shots after giant touchdowns, and then we did a celebratory, we beat the Eagles. So I think I had like 4 shots Sunday. But by 4 o'clock, I was good. 4 o'clock, I was coasting. It was all Arizona iced tea for me.
So you're telling me that you had 5 beers and 4 shots, and you think that that might not impair your writing at 7 o'clock at night?
But again, I didn't touch the stuff during the late window. I didn't touch the stuff. It was water, iced tea.
I just wish we could interview the spell check on your laptop. Oh. Just get its thoughts on what you type in, and it tries to figure out what you actually mean.
I feel like every week's an intervention now. I'm not driving anywhere. I'm sitting home.
You are, though, supposed to be working. That's the thing. Why don't you just get blitzed on Friday and Saturday and then just let Sunday night be a sober night?
Okay, maybe you're right. I need to rethink my life. But all I'll say is, who says I'm not doing that on Saturday? That's great. That's
Can a red-blooded American get blitzed on Friday, drink all day Saturday, and then also get drunk on Sunday before
can
work
I just,
on Monday?
Can I just have
a 72 hours, D.A.? Leave me alone. I had a bender. Leave me alone. We all do it.
Can I just have benders every week and nobody bother me?
I said no to number 21, didn't I? I pushed away from Bob's bar after 20, didn't I? I had some self-restraint. AB has our headlines this morning. Mr. Bogues, what do we got?
Dislike him or hate him, guys, LeVar Ball has now helped raise the first brothers picked in the top five in NBA history after Lonzo went number two to the Lakers in 2017. LaMelo was the third pick last night and now works for Michael Jordan.
Man, straight blessing, for real. I don't even have enough words to say. I mean, I'm just blessed right now, for real.
Ball followed the Warriors using the second pick on Memphis center James Wiseman, which followed the T-Wolves starting the draft with Georgia guard Anthony Edwards. That makes 11 consecutive number one picks that were college freshmen. The 19th pick had an interesting evening, part of a three-way trade. It began with the Nets. The pick ended with the Pistons, who took Villanova's Sadiq Bey. Detroit sending guard Luke Kennard to the Clippers, who sent guard Landry Shamet to Brooklyn. And new Sixers president Daryl Morey busy yesterday dealing Al Horford and a 2025 first-round pick to the Thunder for Danny Green and Terrence Ferguson. That saves Philly about $25 million in salary and luxury tax for the coming season. They also, the Sixers, do get Seth Curry from the Mavs for guard Jason Richardson and the 36th pick, which became Colorado's Tyler Bay, who more than once made this happen.
Somebody call the Boulder Fire Department!
Yes. It's been too long to hear from our buddy, Mark Johnson. All of the draft storylines, though, pale in comparison to Klay Thompson's lower right leg. He may have suffered an Achilles injury working out yesterday, an MRI coming for him today. Thursday Night Football has the Cardinals and Seahawks up in Seattle this evening, and Saturday's Maryland-Michigan State football game in doubt because the Terps are dealing with COVID-19. Eight players tested positive last week, so Maryland spent Wednesday through Sunday in a hotel. They have yet to return to practice as planned this week. DA, back to you.
Thanks, Bogues. When we come back, altercation at the Giants' coaching offices yesterday leading to a firing. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This is CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks for being with us, everybody. Happy Thursday to you. We appreciate you being with us this fine Thursday morning. Sunday, the NFL on CBS slate features two of the AFC's best going head-to-head. Derrick Henry and the Titans take on Lamar Jackson's Ravens, where the Steelers look to avoid the upset against the Jaguars. It all begins the NFL Today. Noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. The NFL is on CBS.
CBS Sports Spectacular, yeah!
So the Giants had a dust-up yesterday. Joe Judge, head coach, and offensive line coach Mark Colombo apparently got into a heated argument. And it was so heated that Joe Judge fired Colombo afterwards. It was because apparently Colombo was bent out of shape that Joe Judge wanted to bring in an understudy, a guy that Judge had worked with before in New England, to be an assistant and an advisor to the offensive line. So Colombo thought that he was being undermined. Now, there was a report yesterday that surfaced on social media that said they had gotten into a fist fight. Everybody within the Giants organization and other reporters are saying that did not happen. So this was not a fist fight, and it's a real shame when bad reporting happens like that. That report was out there from a guy that doesn't usually report breaking news, so he definitely has questionable sources. It's not an Adam Schefter. It's not a Diana Rossini. It's not a Jason Lockenfor. It's not the football newsbreakers that we know, which means you really got to take it with a grain of salt. And it's a shame that a guy like that wants to put that out there when it's wrong. Either way, though, it was a feisty altercation. It ended with Joe Judge firing his own offensive line coach. And Mraz, you've watched every play of the Giants season multiple times. Did the offensive line need a shakeup at the coaching position? It seemed like they were doing pretty well at this point.
It didn't seem like they did for the last 4 weeks. It seemed like they had turned a corner. They were becoming one of the better O-lines, top half of the league last 4 weeks. But as it turns out, we find out it's because Joe Judge took over coaching the O-line from Mark Colombo 4 weeks ago and was bringing in Dave DiGuglielmo as a consultant now. So it appears the uptick was because Judge was taking over and Colombo wasn't doing his job anyway.
So if that's the case, if Joe Judge took over the offensive line and immediately turned it around, and Colombo was looking at himself getting pushed out the door anyway, and that's why he snapped at Judge, then Judge had every right to fire him. Look, there's got to be a hierarchy, and it's cool to have more voices, it's not cool to be combative during it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.